We are back on schedule for our once a month look into Genesis, as we'd like to do this at the beginning of the month. And so we are in Genesis chapter 4, which is the story of Cain and Abel. I will read through verse 16 this morning. So please give your attention. This is the word God has chosen for you to hear today. And expect God then to feed you and be prepared to learn. This is God's word. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with God's help. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is to overtake you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to Cain, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Let's pray. Dear God, may your word not only change our thinking, change us inwardly to live the Christian life, but as a result, we can better help others, that they can be more prepared to live by your word. And so use the preaching of your word for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. If you remember, we are looking at the results of the fall. Adam and Eve in the garden fell and were plunged into sin. We looked at that, and we looked at afterward how the sin nature was exposed by seeing how Adam and Eve responded when God came down to question them. And we saw, instead of holiness and righteousness and love, we saw lying and even blaming God for the situation. Adam hating his wife enough to put her out there and say, judge her. So right away we see man's new sin nature revealed because he fell in the covenant of works. And so last time we saw God speak a word of judgment on Adam and Eve and all their descendants. And the judgments had to do with what life will be like in this world. Work was cursed. Life, work would be difficult. Childbearing was cursed. Relationships between men and women were cursed. Everything you see in the world around you was the result of these curses that God spoke to Adam and Eve. But all those curses applied only to this life. And there was still a question of eternal life. And then we saw that God spoke a word of grace, the first gospel promise, Genesis 3:15, where God said, even though you're fallen into sin and cursed, I will send a deliverer. I will always have a people on the earth, and they will be my redeemed people, and they will be redeemed by a son of the woman who will defeat Satan and what he has done. And we saw last time that Adam and Eve believed this gospel promise, and they were saved. And so now we're going to see how these promises spoken played itself out in the lives of their children. And so we're introduced to two of their children. Obviously not the only two children Adam and Eve had, but these are representative of the two types of people that came from Adam and Eve. And of course, the two types are believer and unbeliever. Obviously, Adam and Eve living hundreds of years, there were other people around that were already adults living in villages in the area. We'll see that later. Now, Cain and Abel lived under the curse. One was a farmer, one was a shepherd. Neither of those have an easy life, especially since God cursed the ground. And so they would live with the storms, the drought, the wild animals, the locusts, bitter cold of that area at night, the intense heat of the day in the summer, sickness, and then eventually death would be coming. And so in this difficult world, Cain and Abel grew up in a what we would call a covenant or Christian home. They grew up hearing stories from their parents. Adam and Eve would tell them of the beauty of the garden, of what it was like to fellowship with God before the fall, of a marriage without sin. And of course, they would hear about the fall, how all this came about because of Adam's rebellion in the covenant with God. They would hear about God's word of punishment on this life, why life is so difficult. But most importantly, Adam and Eve's children would hear the gospel. The gospel Adam and Eve believed, why Adam and Eve had hope that they would still be with God forever, even though they rebelled, of how God had supplied in history, He would supply a deliverer who would save them from their sins. We see in verse 1, Eve was a good believing parent. She attributes her blessings in life to God. Cain's name is named because she attributes to God that she was able to produce a child. And so Adam and Eve grew up in a home where the blessings were attributed to God. Isn't that really every Christian home? Parents do tell their kids what we have is from God. And that is their testimony. So the question now is, how will the children respond to this testimony, to growing up with these stories? Well, in verse 3, you are invited to witness two of Adam's children. Again, these represent the two lines that came from Adam and Eve, believer and unbeliever. Here we have Cain and Abel offering their offerings to God as they had done for years. It's likely that once a week they gathered for worship and they found a place. Some have surmised that they went back up the mountain to the garden and that's where they worshiped. We don't know. But they had set apart a time, especially stopping from their labors, to worship God. And so as they had done for years, Cain and Abel present an offering to the Lord out of thanksgiving. But one day, God does not accept Cain's offering. We do not know how God communicated that to Cain, but in some way, Cain knew that the offering was rejected by the Lord. Now what that means is, now Cain is a man, he's an adult. And what that means is, up until now, God had not revealed His displeasure with Cain. He had not said anything, because Cain here is shocked by this attitude. God has been very patient with Cain before confronting him, and that is true with all children that grow up in the church. God is very patient with them. He doesn't look at them when they're young and make a final decision on their life. He's patient and He gives them opportunities, and that's what God does with Cain. Now, Cain's offering is rejected not because God liked meat over grain. It wasn't the substance of the offering that made a difference to God. It wasn't the amount of the offering, as if Abel offered more. Well, I give 12% and you give 9%. So God accepts my offering and not yours. That's not the problem. The problem is God can read the heart. And God did not accept Cain's offering because it was not from a heart of true faith. It was a hypocritical offering. And since God had finally had enough and spoke up about it to Cain. So Cain had grew up hearing the gospel from Adam and Eve, but he simply did not believe it. Those promises didn't mean anything to him. Cain went to church, like we can call this church, like a believing child usually does, but his heart is cold towards God. Cain is insulted that God would refuse his offering. He thinks everything is fine if he just does the right things. He even thinks God should be impressed with him. After all, he does go to church, and he does bring an offering. What else do you want? Notice that Cain doesn't even inquire why God rejects it. He simply pouts, and he becomes angry. His face falls, which means his face was visibly upset. God's warning in verse 6 seems rather gentle, considering how irreverently Cain speaks to the Lord and how angry he becomes. Now, on a related note, sometimes people in our churches wonder, for example, and this has happened many times, a man abandons his wife and children for another woman, a member of the church, and everybody knows it. He's gone, and nothing seems to be happening. The session doesn't do anything for a long time, and people wonder, why don't you do something? Why don't you make a statement or kick him out right away? Well, here is why. Because the Lord is very long-suffering and patient toward his people, even when they have a time of rebellion. And so you'll see a session spend months and months trying to work with someone and call them back. And you'll wonder what's going on. And what they're trying to do is demonstrate what God has revealed about himself, his patience. We don't give up on people at the first act of doing something wrong. But in verse 6, the Lord tells Cain, if you offer your offering in faith, and that's what he means here by if you do well. In other words, if you just offer your offering like your brother does, then I would accept it. If you simply believe the gospel Adam and Eve taught you, and in thankfulness for the gospel you brought an offering, it would be received. And then he warns Cain, be careful, sin is crouching at the door, and it is ready to overtake you. In other words, you must deal with this attitude now, this lack of faith. Now, this is God as the great pastor. Look at his amazing love. Cain has been basically hating God and faking it for years. When God confronts him, he's very blasphemous toward God. And yet, what is God's concern? With Cain's well-being. He is concerned with Cain's spiritual well-being. God, the great pastor, warns Cain about the condition of his heart. Cain, I see your inward sin, but that sin's going to get worse and reveal itself outwardly. See, up until now, Cain looked like an average churchgoer. He had not done anything too evil outwardly. But if Cain does not respond to the gospel, eventually that inward anger will reveal itself outwardly. And of course, that's exactly what happens. Oftentimes when people grow up in the church, they have a semblance of religion and they think, well, I'm a good person. But the sin that has never been dealt with in their heart eventually will reveal itself. Eventually it will break forth and they'll think, well, I'm a good person. I'll never do what other people do out there. Well, eventually it'll happen. The sin inwardly that has been restrained will eventually break forth. And that is what God is warning Cain about. So how does Cain respond to God's gracious warning? Cain walks away angry. And he's so angry at God, he wants to get back at God. If he could kill God, he would. But he can't. And so he does the next best thing. He goes after the one God has accepted, Abel. So he speaks to Abel, which means he lures Abel out into the field under the pretense of needing to talk with him about something. And when they're alone, he kills his little brother and puts him to death. Now, what is so sad about this is that all Cain needed to do was to trust in the deliverer for salvation, to admit he's a sinner that needs saving. It's not like Cain had to perform or do a certain amount of good works to prove himself to God. He simply needed to believe and turn from his sin and trust in Christ. Nothing in himself he had to produce, and yet still Cain refuses to humble himself. So with Cain, you are getting even more picture than you did with Adam and Eve of the unregenerate heart, the heart that has not been renewed through the gospel. Even though it may look good from the outside and it's somewhat restrained, it's evil. The heart that hasn't been renewed through the gospel naturally hates God. Now, if you ask most people, do you naturally hate God, what will they tell you? Of course not. But from God's perspective, he sees deep down you really do. And it only needs opportunity to come out. So God confronts Cain then with the question as you look on in your text, where is Abel your brother? Now, we've seen in the Bible already, when God asks a question, it means he already knows, but why is he asking? He's given you a chance to come clean. Asking a question is God giving you another chance to admit it on your own. So Cain had another chance, even now, to admit what he's done and repent and ask God for mercy. What does Cain do? He responds to God with more contempt. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? That's a scary thing to talk to God that way, isn't it? His conscience, when it comes to spiritual things, is as cold as ice. This is the unbeliever apart from the Spirit. So he speaks to God like he's speaking to a child here. And the result is that the Lord's patience begins to run out, and he excommunicates Cain from the church. Now, I use the word church here because we see later on in Genesis that most of Adam and Eve's children did not believe. And they had gone out into these villages, and they would be unbelievers. A few of them did believe. And so this, in essence, Adam and Eve's family is the church. But notice how Cain is excommunicated from the church, and Cain understands what this means because he responds, you're kicking me out of your presence. Notice how he says, out from your face. That means from your presence, your protection. That's what excommunication is when the church has to do such a thing. And so God curses Cain. God would send him out from his family and to wander the earth. He could not be a farmer anymore because God said, wherever you try to farm, I will not bless the ground. It will not produce anything for you. So Cain has to wander the earth and find another way to find sustenance. Now, considering what he's just done, he's killed the first murderer. He's killed his brother. He's blaspheming God. Cain is getting off fairly easy, isn't he? When you consider what he's done, this is a fairly light sentence. And yet, does he respond with repentance? No, he basically says, this punishment isn't fair. You ever hear that? This isn't fair? Kids ever say that nowadays? That's not fair? Cain just murdered his brother. And ironically, after a light sentence, Cain complains, if you send me out, someone may kill me. Now you should be concerned about murder. Because someone may do it to me. The first narcissist, right? This may affect me, God. Now you should be interested. Well, as I said, there were many brothers and sisters living in villages, and when they found out what Cain had done to Abel, they would want to seek revenge, and Cain knew that. So he complains to God, and surprisingly, God responds. And he promises that he would not allow people to avenge Abel's death. This is God before government, in a sense, making sure there's not total anarchy on the earth. Everyone doing whatever they want and killing whoever they want. So it says God put a mark on Cain. That word mark in the Hebrew is also sometimes translated oath. And a better way to understand it is God swore an oath to Cain. And the oath or promise is that he will not allow Cain to be killed out there in vengeance. God is promising vengeance on those who would take the law in their own hands this way. So even now, God is merciful to Cain when he only deserves death. And after this act of grace, what we would call common grace in theology, Cain isn't saved, but God is being good to Cain by providing life. How does Cain respond? No, thank you. He simply walks away angry. And we will see in time continuing rebellious against the Lord. Now, I want to summarize this text with some applications that the New Testament brings out. How to understand Cain and Abel. According to the New Testament, when you read this story, there are two voices speaking to you today. The first is a voice of warning, and it's Cain's voice. And it's basically a warning to everyone in the church that outwardly professes Christ. And the warning is, do not be like Cain. And that's basically what 1 John says. Do not be like Cain. A person who grows up in the church hears the gospel but refuses to believe. Children, if you refuse to believe the gospel that you've been raised with, it's basically your choice and your fault. It's not your parents' fault or anyone else's fault. Cain, I don't know what kind of parents Adam and Eve were, but Cain could believe like Abel and chose not to. And so, but not just for children, for adults. They can join the church for wrong reasons and not have a new heart from the gospel. And there's a warning to everyone in the church that God sees right through the exterior. Even if you come to church and give an offering, God sees the heart. And he rejects the offering that is not offered in faith and thanksgiving for the gospel of Christ. So it is a warning to you. 1 John also uses Cain's hatred as a warning. Listen to 1 John 3:12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And so John uses the Cain story as a warning that if you do not love other Christians, if you care only for yourself, even if you name the name of Christ, you are like Cain, who hated his brother and didn't care for his life. And so your faith is demonstrated more than any other way in your love for the brethren. True faith, as John says. Do not be like Cain. Now, there's one more thing we learn from Cain. 1 John continues with these words. And why did Cain murder his brother? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised then, brothers, that the world hates you. You see, the next warning is not a warning to hypocrites. Now it's a warning to true believers. That there is a difference between you and unbelievers. Whether they're in your family or work or whatever, their neighbors, and they deep down are not going to like you. They may not even know why, but it's because there's a difference between light and darkness. Deep down, they're angry because God has accepted you and not them. Not because you're better than them, because through the gospel. But still, the fact that you have a relationship with God and they don't bothers them. And instead of repenting, they simply will not like you. So here's the warning. Do not be surprised, brethren, when like Cain, the world hates you. And sometimes we define the word hate as this outward, but it may not be that. It may be. It may be they don't even know why they're bothered by you or why there's this gap. But the result will be that you will feel lonely in this life and suffer as a Christian because you're Abel and there are Cains all around you. But there is another voice speaking in this passage. You probably didn't hear it because he never actually spoke. But whose voice is speaking to you? Abel's voice. And Hebrews actually uses that term, that Abel is speaking in this passage. Cain gets all the attention like all narcissists do. Abel is quiet. We never hear a word from Abel. But listen to Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, though through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, Abel still speaks. So the New Testament is saying, not only is Cain speaking a warning to you, Abel's faith is speaking an encouragement to you, to God's people. Abel offered to God an acceptable sacrifice simply because he believed the gospel. Abel knew he was a sinner, that he deserved the curse that his family received. He believed when his parents told him of a Savior to come, and because he believed alone, God accepted himself, Abel, and his sacrifice. That is an encouragement to you, that God accepts you simply through faith in Christ alone. Abel lived a very difficult life, obviously cut short at a much younger age than it should have been. Yet Abel did not hope in this world, did he? Abel's hope was in the world to come that the Deliverer would bring about. Because he loved God for this gospel, he brought forth the first of his lambs. It's not easy to produce a fine, healthy lamb. Ask any shepherd. That takes a lot of care and time. But Abel was expressing his love for God through the gospel. What Abel prized most could not even be taken away by Cain, not even by death. And so Abel's faith is to speak to you Christians this morning. Because you suffer in a fallen world surrounded by Cains. And as you experience the suffering, you are not to give up or complain against God, but like Abel, offer to God yourself in thanksgiving, knowing that as Abel is with the Lord, we will be with the Lord too. Imitate Abel's faith. Let's pray.